And he was always faithful to his people. I wonder how many times he has delivered us. I wonder how many times he has come to our rescue. And maybe we didn't even realize it, didn't even know that he was there. But thank the Lord that he keeps down the forces of evil and the wickedness against us. And he delivers each of us into his watch care continually. We live in a world that is continually struggling against and fighting against the good things of the Lord. I heard this week, as maybe you have, that out in California they're entertaining a law that, if carried to the extreme, which probably would be, would possibly make it illegal to even sell a Bible in that state, because that book is so much against of what they're teaching. And even in the in some of the reports, it says it's not conducive to our society. And what a terrible statement to be made about the book of God. I heard this morning, and I read also that GQ magazine, I'm not familiar with that, but it stated that the Bible is is the most overrated book that's ever been printed. Let me read what I saved here. It says among these overrated books is the Bible, for which the editors reserve some particular choice epithet. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and even at times ill-intended, or in a nutshell, certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. They got one part right. Man did not produce it. And, of course, they're looking from humanistic eyes and standpoint, but the onslaught, I think we will continue to see. And we will continue to hear things that we would have never thought. I would have never thought I'd heard some of the things that I've heard and read about the Scriptures. But we're living in the last days. That is very clear according to Scripture. And regardless of what some people think, he is coming. And until he comes, I'm glad he is my helper. I want us to read probably... it's probably as familiar to most people as John 3:16, and it's Psalm number 23. As we look at these words, sometimes we let things that we are so familiar with rob us of some blessings that are there for us to obtain. Just because we can quote a verse doesn't mean we know what the verse has really to say. Just because we sometimes can quote a passage of Scripture does not mean that we know the full depths of what is given in that passage. And sometimes we have to take a more detailed look at it. And someone might say, well, I've heard message after message. I've heard Psalm 23 and funeral after funeral, and it is a very popular funeral verse because it does give comfort. It gives help in time of struggle. But I want us to read the 23rd Psalm, and then this morning we'll look at some things in Psalm 22 and also maybe in Psalm 24. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." These words have been a passage of words of comfort and strength, I guess from the very time that David penned them. And David was certainly the number one human author of the book of Psalms, which later became and was the songbook or the hymn book for the Jews as they went to the temple to worship, as they went to the synagogues to worship. The Psalms were literally what they were. They were songs. And David here produces and gives to us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest passages that we know and that has been used time and time again. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are psalms that are used many times together. Psalm number 22 is about the good shepherd, the sacrificial shepherd, giving himself for his sheep. And we'll look at some of these words here in just a few moments. Psalm number 23 is give us the picture of the great shepherd, and he is the one that supplies. He's the one that gives to us the daily needs, the things that we have need of continually in our life. And then Psalm number 24 is about the glorious shepherd, and I just put out beside that he's the supreme shepherd. Really, he's the only shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a personal position that he had. And you and I this morning, as a believer, he is our shepherd. He is our caretaker. He is our keeper. Psalm number 22, though, is a very interesting psalm. It is a psalm of David, but it also is a psalm that pictures and gives some words that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That 22nd psalm is considered to be the psalm of the cross, or of the shepherd that is dying for us. The opening statement of that psalm says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Of course, we understand as people that know the Scripture, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that was one of the seven utterances that he made hanging there on the cross of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But David was writing this in the person of himself. David was a struggling king. David was always in a battle. David was that one that was always in a warfare. And later on, the Lord tells David that is why he's not permitted to build the temple, because he's a man of war. He's a man of bloodshed. And the Lord gave that position over to Solomon, his son. And so we have what we call Solomon's temple. But David was in a battle, and he tells us here in verse number 1 that he feels as though he is forsaken of the Lord. He tells us here that he is far from the help of God there in verse number 1. Verse number 2, he says, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am silent, but thou art holy. Regardless of whether you talk to me or whether you hear me, regardless of whether you answer me back," David said, "I know that you are holy." And so in Psalm number 22, we are hearing the words of the despairing heart of this man that was the man after God's own heart. He's in a battle, he's in a struggle, and he feels like he's all alone. And he tells us time and again, he says that he cried after the Lord. He says in verse number 4, he reminds the Lord that we have, that they fathers had trusted in him. He says, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." And then David comes back to a personal relationship or a personal word concerning himself. He said, "I am a worm." He said, I'm really nothing." David felt very low. He said, "And no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip and shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." So David is undergoing all the scorn of those around him, and David is applying that personally to himself. But as you read this 22nd Psalm, you'll find that this psalm is a messianic psalm. It talks about the Messiah. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he proves the greatness of the Lord. And in these Psalms 22, 23, 24, the Lord proves His provision, His life, and His care for the sheep. Thank God this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm glad He takes care of us. I'm glad that He helps us. He proves His greatness in His love. And if it was not for the expressions here of the Good Shepherd in Psalm 22, we would not understand Psalm 23. If there was no Psalm 22, there would be no green pasture. If there was no Psalm 22, there would be no place for me to lay my head. If it was not for the suffering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial one, there would be no brook to drink from, and there would certainly be no comfort that would come from within. There'd be no table for which I could set, and there'd be no oil that'd be poured out, and lastly, there'd be no goodness and mercy. Because of chapter 22, we find Jesus dying for us. Psalm 23, we find Jesus providing for us. And if He had not died for us, He would not provide for us. If He had not suffered and gave Himself a ransom for mankind, then we certainly would not have the comfort and the mercy of the Lord that is spoken of in the 23rd Psalm. All the benefits of the shepherd here in Psalm 23, the great shepherd, is a result of the actions of the good shepherd in Psalm 22. He gave Himself a ransom. We live in a world today that's full of, is engulfed with anxiety and fear, and the actions of that type of person is demonstrated to us daily and continually. I heard this morning, as probably maybe some of you did, that just south of here in Nashville, some man goes and kills four people at a restaurant, a Waffle House. And now Sharon would never be in trouble there. She don't like Waffle House, so we don't go to Waffle House. But here this man goes in, and he shoots two on the outside, goes in, and shoots two more people. And by the time I left the house this morning, they still had not captured him. And so these end results and these things that are happening in our world is a result of not having comfort, not having a shepherd. And it's not going to get any better if we outlaw the Word of God. It's not going to get any better if we stop our mouths and we stop our attitudes and hold back our love for mankind. It's not going to get any better. And so therefore we live in a world which many, if not most people, are engulfed with fear and anxiety, and they express it in very terrible ways. Some fear the past. They fear the haunting of the past life. Some fear right now, and some fear of what's in the future. Probably in this building this morning, there are those of us that are falling all three of those categories, if not all three, one or two of them. We fear the things that we do not understand and do not know. And anxiety grips the soul of people, and thousands of people wake up every day with burdens and anxiety that they must deal with, and without a shepherd, without a comforter, we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to face life. We don't know how to face the daily activities. And certainly we don't know how to face eternity. Don't know how to face dying. Don't know how to face the realities of life. And so the question comes up, how does God respond to that? How does God want me to respond to that? How does God respond? And David gives us the response of the Lord and his response, and he just simply says, I may feel like the Lord's deserted me. I may feel like the Lord is nowhere around. I may feel like that I can't reach Him in the morning or the noon or the night. He says, but the Lord is my shepherd. And so we have the comfort there of knowing who the Lord is. And 23rd Psalm is that God-honoring response that should be in our lives as we look unto the Lord. David was a man no different than you and I. He was an individual, a human being, just like you and I. He had the same problems. He had the same struggles in his life. He was tempted many times to fret over his life, and many occasions he did fret, and those things caused him problems. When Saul was seeking his life, you can read his words in some of the Psalms, and you'll know that he is fearful for his life. He feared that man that was after him. But we see David time and time again overcoming this worry that's in his heart by simply trusting and rejoicing in the good things of the Lord. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God gives to us the 23rd Psalm. God gives to us this passage or this these few verses that give us comfort and strength in a world in which we live that is like a powder keg, ready to blow up. You don't know somebody that you meet on the road. They're not just ready to blow up. You don't know if somebody you meet at Walmart or somewhere else. Those folks that were at that restaurant this morning, they didn't realize this was going to take place in their life. They didn't realize some madman, some individual that had nothing mentally responsible in his life would come in and shoot to the outside and come in and shoot to on the inside. One of the men that was there witnessing it, he said, "I don't know who he is, but there's a hero that was there, because while the man was trying to reload his gun, somebody wrestled the gun away from him, threw it across the counter, and the man runs out of the restaurant." We don't know who and what circumstances we're going to meet people. And so we have an underlying thing in our life that we can know that we do have a comforter, that we do have one that can help us in the times that come our way. This psalm, Psalm number 23, really can be divided. It has two divisions. Each one provides a part to the answer of the question about worry. What am I going to do? The first four verses focus on God as a faithful, thank the Lord, a faithful shepherd to his sheep. I'm glad this morning the Lord is faithful. I'm glad this morning the Lord is able to do abundantly above more than all that I have ever imagined that he could do. And so those first four verses focus upon what the Lord does as a shepherd for his people. And then the second section is made up of our attention on God and he being the wonderful Lord that he is. Just three things this morning, and we'll get through this psalm. They're not difficult, they're not hard, they're not long. But I believe they're needed in every one of our lives to realize that the Lord is my shepherd, that the Lord's my protector. He's the one that gives and helps me. The Bible says in verse 1 and 2, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the next little phrase there, "I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. That's an interesting phrase that God gives to us. That if he's my shepherd, that means I'm his sheep. If you study anything about a shepherd and a sheep, the shepherd did everything for the sheep. The sheep, in reality, is one of the most inapt, unable, has no ability to care or take care of themselves. And so that before we think too highly of ourselves, just realize God calls us sheep. That means we're not able to take care of ourselves. We're inapt, and we have to have somebody provide for us and take care for us. And so the Lord is my shepherd. That means I'm a part of his fold. I'm part of his sheep. And as he being my shepherd, the scripture says, "I shall not want." The Lord's going to take care of our provisions. So number one, he is a proven provider. If we could go around this morning, or if we'd take time and go down each aisle and down the pews and ask you an individual question. Can you name me certain things that the Lord has provided for you in your Christian life? And I'm sure every one of us would have something that we could answer. That the Lord has provided certain things for us that nobody else may have noticed, nobody else may have cared, nobody else was even interested in my life or your life, but the Lord's interested in us, and so therefore, He is our proven provider. Now, if He took care of men in the Old Testament and men in the New Testament, I believe He can take care of men and women in our day and time. I believe He can take care of you and I. He's not lack. He's not running out of resources. He's not dwindling down in frame, or He's not dwindling down in stature or ability. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that's needed in my life, I'm glad God can give that to us. Every provision that is needed for our daily walk with the Lord, He gives to us. And sometimes we don't even recognize the gifts of the Lord. Sometimes we don't even recognize what God has laid before us that we can have in our life to be able to be a productive child of God. It says here in verse 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then He begins to give us some provisions that the Lord has given Him. He maketh me to lie down. I'm glad God can provide to you and I a rest that nobody else can do, and the world does not even understand it. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He gives me rest. He gives me that cessation of working and moving and just rest for David, I'm sure maybe he was talking here physically. He had struggled and he had run and he has fought the battle. And he said, thank God He's my shepherd. And even in the midst of all those things, He gives me rest. I'm sure all of us have gone through those nights and those night seasons that we have no rest. That we may doze off for a little while and then we're wide awake and thinking about whatever. And the rest sort of leaves us, and that next day we're wore out. The next day we realize, we didn't get the rest that we needed. And maybe the next night you lay down and you're wore out and you give out, and still rest is not there. Sleep escapes us, and the problems of life before us, and the struggles of just being an individual, the struggles of just being a person living on planet Earth. It comes before us sometimes. There's bills to pay. There's things that got to do. There's things that's got to be accomplished. And we begin to think about all those things in the night season. And our rest leaves us. Our sleep leaves us. And therefore, there is no rest. Oh, but thank God for those nights you can lay down. You're worn out. And how many times we've used the little phrase, I don't even remember my head hitting the pillow. We lay down and we're asleep. Oh, what a great feeling that is. Just to be able to relax, to be able to lay down physically, to be able to have ability to have rest for our body. But I believe David was also talking about not just a bodily rest, but thank God a spiritual rest. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He gives us rest in our lives, in our personal walk with the Lord. He gives us a place that we can sustain the labor, and we can do away with the work, and we can just sort of relax, and however we do that, or wherever that is. I love to sit in my chair and go to sleep and then go to bed. I must love it because I do it all the time. I mean, if I sit down anymore, if I sit down for a little while, I'm watching something, and I wake up and something else. Oh, I said, well, I wonder what happened. I said, might as well go to bed. Don't know what's going on anyway. And so He gives us rest physically, and thank God He gives me rest spiritually. I have been able to lay my burdens at the Lord Jesus Christ, been able to lay my sins at the Lord. And one day He saved me and He gave me green pastures. He saved me and gave me rest in my soul. He gives us that which we do not deserve, and He gives us that which we really we can't earn. He just says that He's my shepherd, so He's going to provide for me, and He's going to provide for me rest. Praise the Lord for the rest that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does He give me rest, but He gives me feast. And He makes us, David uses the term here, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. That means nourishment for those sheep. That means they're there, they can graze and they can have nourishment for their bodies so they can make the next day or the next trip or be able to rest that night. And so David says, as He being my shepherd and I'm being His sheep, I can lay down and rest, and I'm laying down in a world of nourishment, a world of food. You know, some people, we have the old saying too, that we live to eat and eat to live. And just by continually. And we in America are very blessed to have plenty. To have more than abundance. To have more than maybe what we even deserve. But here the psalmist, David, says, as one of His sheep, the Lord has made me to lay down in green pastures. He's made me to be have nourishment and food everywhere I look. That's a feast. That's what God gives to His people. That's what God gives to us in our personal walk with Him, and gives us a good life to serve Him, and we can just be nourished on the green pastures of the Lord. Physically and spiritually. And so we find that He is a proven provider. He gives to us. The Lord's my shepherd. And I'm not wanting for anything. David says, I have no wants. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. So there's rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's nourishment. And there's food. And there's the feast. And then in verse number 2, He leadeth me beside the still waters. There is the quenching of my thirst, the need that we have physically and also spiritually. You know, a person can live a long time without eating. We don't think we can. About 4 hours, we think we're dying. But a person can live a long time without eating. But they're not going to live very long without drinking. They're not going to live very long without the water. Water is in the Scriptures called the water of life. And spiritually speaking, that's talking of the salvation that we have. And so David says, I'm here in a predicament. What I've just written in the 22nd Psalm, what I've just written, that I see a Savior that's sacrificing Himself, a Savior that has died. But now I'm writing about this Savior that now is a Savior of providing for me. A supplying my very need. And so He's a proven provider. I shall not want a place to rest, a place to feast, and a place to quench our thirsty soul. I'm not like a lot of people. I don't drink a lot of anything. Probably need to do more than I do for health. But I go sometimes a whole day and never drink hardly a drink of water. And that's not really, really healthy. But there are times when we get to desiring that water so much that we just got to have a drink of water. And David said, my shepherd provides for me that water that quenches my thirst. I shall not want. Praise the Lord this morning for a Lord or a shepherd that will provide for us everything we need. He gives us rest, He gives us food, He gives us drink. He does that physically, and He does that spiritually. Praise the Lord. Number 2, not only is He a proven provider, but in these next couple of verses, He is a powerful protector. Look at verse number 3 and 4 and the first part of 5. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David said, doesn't matter who's after me. Doesn't matter who is following me. No matter who's throwing their darts and their spears like Saul did at him. David said, doesn't matter what the battle is. Thank God, he is my protector. He is the one that gives to us protection of life. He says that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we find here that the Lord does these things for us. We have safety going through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, shadow is not a substance. It's just something that's portrayed because of the sun that is behind us, and we leave a shadow on the ground. For the child of God, for you and I this morning as a believer, death is just the means that the Lord has provided to mankind to leave this world and go to eternity. Now, in eternity, there's two places. There's not three. There's only two. Either heaven or hell. And so God has given to us the means whereby that we will be transported from this life into eternity. And we will spend all that eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. And David is writing, of course, as one that's trusting the Lord. And he says, I have safe going through that valley. That valley that is there, I'm safe in that. As we have seen our loved ones pass, as Brother Dwayne saw his mother-in-law pass this week, as we've seen ours pass, we sometimes see that they're walking through that valley of shadow of death. We've been there to hold their hands. We've been there to be with them. And sometimes we have different things that families have different things they do when it comes to that time of one of the elders of that family part. There are those that will stand around and talk to the one that is passing that maybe we don't know if they're hearing us or not. But we're talking and telling them certain things. There are times that we meet together and we sing songs. And there's times that we meet together and we just sort of, almost like we're a guard before death comes. But David said, he's given me safe passage through the valley. David says that it's the valley of the shadow of death, and shadows do not hurt us. Shadows do not stop us. Shadows do not really affect us. Death is all around us, but it doesn't stop. It goes on and on. Death doesn't even stop you and I as a believer. One day we're going to leave this world and we're going to be in heaven. What a wonderful thought that is. What a wonderful knowledge it is that I'm going through the valley. I'm not stopping here. I'm going through it. It's not going to detour me, it's just a shadow. It's not going to withhold me from my end destination of eternity because it's just a shadow. And by the way, it's a shadow for the saved and the lost. They're all going through it. And they're all going to reach their destination, heaven or hell. And so David says here that he's my shepherd, and so he's going to provide for me. But not only does he provide for me, thank God he protects me. Even in the time of death. We are secured by his rod and his staff. A shepherd would have a rod and a staff, and they were there for protection and for correction. And that shepherd would take care of that, and comfort come from that rod and staff many times. While I'm in the valley, thank God he can take care of me. While I'm in the struggle, he can take care of my life. He's a powerful protector. And then there's a table set. It says, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then verse 5, thou preparest a table before me. There's a table that is set for us. The term here for table is what we would use as a banqueting table. A table of supplies. A table of much. We had our meal last Sunday. We had a pretty good banquet. a lot of food, a lot of things there. And the Lord sets before us a banqueting table. He sets it there before us as one of celebration as I'm going through the valley, as I'm going through the last part of my life. The feast is prepared, and He's the heavenly host. He is the shepherd that takes care of me here, and He's the shepherd that provides for me now, and He's the shepherd that will give me a table to rejoice in. Psalm number 23 is a great passage, and we should never let the familiarity of it rob us of these wonderful blessings. So we find He's the provider, He's the protector. But the third point and final point is found in verse 5 and 6, the latter part of 5 and the first part of 6. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He tells us here in verse 5, He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He is that passionate prince, Lord, that has now moved from a shepherd position to now the supreme shepherd, the one that takes care of us not here as we walk in our walk on this earth, but now takes care of us as we've gone through, while we're going through it, and as we, when we go through that valley of death, He is there to help us, and He overfills us. My cup runneth over. I dare say when we get to heaven, our cup will run over. I dare say when we see all the beauties and the glories of the heavens, that our cup will be full to the overflowing for all the things that God has prepared. The Bible says that man hasn't even thought of what God has for us. He uses words similar to this, paraphrasing, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has for you and I. Praise the Lord, our cup will run over. I walk through the valley, the shadow of death. I fear no evil. I have no problem. God has helped me in my life. God's helped me in my death. Now God is overfilling my cup throughout all eternity. Now God is giving me that which is more than I deserve. I have more right now than I deserve. Sometimes we need to pray to the Lord, God, be merciful, don't just be gracious. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is that which God gives to us and withholds some things that really we do deserve. David now, he says, this shepherd that has provided for me, this shepherd that has protected me, now he's the one serving me. He's the prince. He's the one that is giving me more than I deserve. My cup runneth over. He overwhelms me. Goodness and mercy. Those two words, goodness and mercy. And David uses that little adverb right before. It says, surely. God has given me goodness. Not only in this life, but He gives me goodness in the life to come. And mercy. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. We stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. We'll be glad for mercy. I stand before the Lord with all my faults, my failures, my sins. I'll plead for mercy. Thank God His mercy was given to us at Calvary through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, He's going to do it all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's two time periods there. All the days of my life, that's on earth. He's going to give me goodness and mercy while I'm here, praise the Lord. And then not only that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not today. That's not just tomorrow. That's not just all the days of my life. But that's eternity, forever. He is the one that fills us to an overflowing cup. He is the one that overwhelms us with the goodness and mercy. He is the one that offers to the world Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. To the lost, we know they're unbelieving. We know many of them are unknowing. They've never heard. And we know many are ungodly in their actions. Yet He offers to them a place called heaven. How undeserving they are. Oh, but before we go too far, just have to remember, we were that way one day. Paul uses the little phrase, I forget in which passage it is. He lists a lot of different categories of sin. And then he says to that church, such were some of you. You used to live that way. You used to be that way. So don't think too highly of yourself now. You used to be that one ungodly. And you and I today, we used to be unbelieving. We used to be ungodly. We used to be unknowing. But yet He offered to us heaven, as He does to the world today. To the saved, we are undeserving. There's not one thing that we can say, God, I deserve heaven and the good things of the Lord. I deserve it. Because we don't deserve it. To those that are saved, that are undeserving, and certainly we are unfaithful. Before you judge someone else, judge your own self. Unfaithful. Well, this one does this, and this one does that, and that one says this, and that one says that. Forget about this one and that one and think about me. Because we all find ourselves undeserving, we all find ourselves unfaithful. And therefore we're sometimes, many times, unfruitful. But yet, He offers unto us and gives to us a place called heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. He provides, He protects, and He's my prince. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what I have here, I don't deserve, the good things of God. But sometimes my cup runs over. When I enter into the glories of the Lord, I think probably all of our cups will be overflowing. To see all the beauty and the magnificence of the good things of our God. Sometimes, as a believer, maybe we're not as much as we should be, but we really ought to be overwhelmed. What can I say? Lord, You love me so much. What can I say? Personal prayers that the Lord answers. Personal things that God does. Sometimes we all just be overwhelmed with our shepherd. And then He gives to us the best of both worlds. He saves us here, gives us a good life, and takes us to heaven. Offers to us all the joys, all the beauty, all the good things of the Lord. He simply says, it's yours. What a wonderful Lord we have. David could write in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David could recall how that God had recovered and how He had helped those people of days gone by. David could establish that he is not even a man. He feels like a worm under the reproach of man. And he sees that one dying. And he comes to Psalms 23 and he says, you're mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God this morning. He's personally, I can talk about your shepherd, but I thank God I can call Him my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So these few words that I learned them as a child, to quote them. Many of you have learned them the same way, in same passage. We can have somebody called out Psalm 23 and we can start quoting it because we're so familiar with it. But don't let them ever just be words on a page. They are words from heaven. They are words to you and I. I'm glad the Lord has given us His Word. I heard a fellow this morning. I listen to him almost every Sunday, sometime in and out getting ready. Would I agree with everything he does and says? No. I don't agree with everything I do and say when I consider it sometimes. But I heard him say something this morning, and he put a book out by this title, God Wrote a Book. God has given us a book. Ken Ham, when he debated the science guy back a couple years ago now, every time the fellow that's an evolutionist, anti-God, atheist, every time that he would make a statement, Ken Ham would say, yes, but God has wrote a book. And that's the best answer, because this book has the answer. No wonder society wants to do away with it. It doesn't fit their agenda. No, it doesn't. It doesn't fit my agenda sometimes. It doesn't fit your agenda sometimes. It doesn't fit your life sometimes. But I'm glad this morning God has given us a book. There is a scripture. There is a passage. And one of the comforting ones that we have, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand together this morning.